The title of today's message is How to Know When the Enemy is Near. How to Know When the Enemy is Right Next to You. I always speak like this when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Satan could not mess with them. But the minute they sinned, I just want you to see a picture, like a word picture. It's almost like there was a slice around the atmosphere. This isn't in the Bible. It's just a word picture. But the atmosphere was protected. But when they sinned, there was like this slice around the atmosphere, and like black bats just flooded the world, and they could just roam freely. And Adam and Eve, they could not walk with the Lord the way they did ever again. And I want you to know that these bats, I'm going to start calling them demons because that's what they are. These demons prowl around. Satan prowls around like a lion. They sit at the door. In Genesis 4:7, it says that it sits at the door and waits. I want you to know that when you wake up in the morning, it's fight time. I want you to know that life is not a picnic, it's warfare. And that war starts the moment you open your eyes. The enemy begins to start his attack. You never get an hour off from the attack of Satan. You never get a day off. I want you to hear me say this. The temptations are from Satan. I want you to hear this pull down of the way you see yourself. It is from Satan. You don't want to beat yourself up. God's not going to beat you up. So where is it coming from? I want you to know it is from Satan. Your anxiety, the fear, the anxiousness. This is Satan tormenting you. One person is struggling with one thing. You have a temptation to do something. It's completely different than the person next to you. But know this, they are tempted about something. And I want to equip you to be able to fight this battle, to be aware of the battle, and to be victorious. Let me lay the scriptural foundation. But first of all, I want to say I'm going to talk about two major points. The first one is desire. And the second one is anger. So let's talk about desire straight away. In James chapter 1, verse 15, it says this, that when desire is conceived, I want you to see a desire, like a woman has a desire, the thought, I want to get pregnant. And then what happens next? It's conceived. And then it gives birth. So that's the same way sin operates. First, you have the thought. It's a desire. Then it's conceived in its birth, the actual action. But then when the sin, the action, when it's fully grown, it brings death. It brings death. So I just want to say it starts with the thought. If you have a temptation, an addiction, it starts with a thought. This is just an easy example, so I'll just throw it out there. If you're single and you're in a relationship and you are about to go too far physically, where does that start? The thought. It's a thought. If there's an addiction, where does that start? It's a thought. I became aware of this lady that she was addicted to nail polish remover, and she would drink it or snort it. I don't know what you do, but she was addicted to it. And so she couldn't even walk into a department store, a Macy's, a Dillard's, or whatever. Couldn't even walk in it because she was so tempted to grab it. How does that start? It's the thought first. When you look at Cain and Abel, Cain killed his brother. He took a rock, banged it against his head, and killed him. Did he kill him first before he had the thought, or did he have the thought first? He had the thought first. When the desire is conceived, it gives to sin. So I wish I could go back and look at Cain and say, look at what you're thinking. If you're thinking about it, the devil is near. When you think about the temptation, when you think about the sin, when you think about it, he is near. David looked and saw a married woman. He was like, I want that woman. He had adultery and then he killed her husband. What happened first? Did he kill the husband or did he have the thought? The thought, don't you wish you could go back to David and say, David, look at what you're, listen to what you're thinking. I'm saying thought, the Bible says desire. But I'm I'm using both words. because the desire for the woman came first. I go back to David and say, David, the enemy is near. He's right next to you. When you have the thought, there was a song growing up, I'm going to show my age a little bit. But I loved the 80s music. Anyone with me, you just love the 80s. If you love the 80s music, let me just tell you what you say to people all the time, because I say it. They don't make good music anymore. Now, everyone here, you don't listen to 80s music, and you're just like, oh, here we go. Old people talking about old music. But anyway, there was a song that the singer would go, I wish I had Jesse's girl. You with me? Where can I find a girl like her? I wish I had... Okay, I can't sing very good. Let me show you the original and enjoy the 80s, okay? Take a look at this. I have sang that song like my whole life. And it came on somehow again, and I was singing it, and I was like, I wish I had Jesse's, and I was like, hold on. Hold on right now. And if you catch the first verse, he's saying this. He goes, I have a friend named Jesse, and I wish I had his girl. And we're all like, best song ever. Like, I wish I had Jesse's girl. Think about what we're talking about here. The enemy wants to make sin look harmless and fun. If sin didn't look harmless and fun, we wouldn't do it. Eve was not thinking about an apple. She was thinking about apple pie. It was... harmless and fun. And I just want you to become distinctly and keenly aware. The moment you have the thought, the enemy is near. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. It's in John chapter 14, verse 26, where it says, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, just as Jesus talking, will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will spark inside of you, this isn't right. This isn't right. And you have a nanosecond. A nanosecond is quicker than a blink. You have a nanosecond to say, that thought, stop it. All right, let's go to the next point. So we're talking about desire. Now we're going to talk about anger. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it reads like this. What does it read? Oh, yeah. Do not get angry. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now, to get angry is to be human. Like, it would be insane to stand up here and say, don't get angry. I'm half Brazilian, I'm half Italian. It's a hot mess. I'm a hot mess, okay? Anyone here Latin? Are you Latin? All right. You get it. Right? You get it. My wife's Canadian. She's always, from the day we were driving when we were dating, I just looked at her, I was like, shut up. And then I looked over and she was crying. And I was like, I didn't mean shut up. I was just saying shut up. It meant I love you, stop being silly. Latins, wave at me real quick. You know, my dad used to tell me, people with dark eyes and dark hair have fire. So if you have dark hair or dark eyes, you get me. You get me. Now, if you don't, if you're not fiery, then, you know, and you have dark hair, dark eyes, you are what we call a unicorn. Okay, you're a unicorn. All right, I digress. It's anger that sustains. That's why it says, do not go to sleep while you're still angry. Anger that sustains, the devil is in it. The devil is near. When you wake up the next morning and you're still angry, I want to come up to you and say, the devil's near. He's right next to you. He's right there. We're not talking about a desire to do something. We already talked about that. Now we're talking about just getting angry. It's the desire to do something that's different from anger. Anger is, I don't need to define it. You know what it is. It starts with a thought, and then it just like explodes within you. And when that sustains, the devil is near. I want to say, the devil's near, the devil's near. Watch it, watch it, watch it. One of the things that anger does, the spirit of anger that comes on you, is it wants to control you. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9, it says, do not be easily provoked. Do not be easily provoked in your spirit, for anger rests in the lap of fools. Have you ever laughed at somebody because they get angry so quick? It's almost kind of fun to make them angry because it's like... If I'm laughing at you, if you're laughing at people, what do you think devils are doing? We're really concerned about Frankie. He was worshiping Sunday morning. Don't worry about it. I got him. I got him. He gets so ticked off so easily. I got him. Anger control. Don't be so easily provoked. Don't let, the Bible says, Ephesians 4:26, don't let it control you. Control you. David, why don't you come on up here real quick? I need to illustrate this, and you have the best haircut in the room, so I got to use you. Man, I love this guy, man. I really do. I really do. Okay, anger controlling you. If he gets angry and it sustains. Don't let anger control you because the devil gets a foothold in your life. I have a footload. I am controlling him.
He thinks he's controlling himself. That's part of a lying spirit. In John 8:44, it says that when the devil lies, he's speaking his native language. He's the father of lies. I got him thinking that he's angry on his own. No, I have a foothold in his life because he let it sustain. He let it stay. And here's the thing about anger. You can always have a defense for sustained anger. Always. You didn't wake up that morning like, you know what I'm going to do around 1:15 today? I'm going to get so angry that I'm going to go to sleep angry. That's how angry I'm going to get. Nobody does that. But it's the moron that comes up to you and acts like a moron. And then you stay angry, and it's like, David, why are you so angry? And it's like, no, it's the moron. Okay, I understand the moron, the moment happened, but you're just walking around angry. And then you say, well, he's always being a moron. Here's the thing about the Bible. Sometimes it's annoying. Are you with me? Say yes. Thank you, David. You can sit down. Matthew 18, verse 21, I think it is. Peter is so proud of himself, and he says, is it cool? Like, how awesome is it? Like, if I forgive somebody, like, seven times? And Jesus says back, how about 77 times seven? Now watch this. There's no timeline on that. How about that person offends you doing the same thing 77 times in one day? I'm really sorry. I forgive you. 5 minutes later. Look, I'm really sorry. You know what? I forgive you. I'm really sorry. I forgive. I'm really sorry. You know what? I'm done forgiving you. Are you with me? There's always a reason. Now, how easily are you provoked? It says, don't be provoked. Don't be easily provoked. Don't do that. Now, here's the thing. If you're thinking about somebody who's easily provoked, stop. How well are you self-aware? What is it like to be with you? What is it like? Now, watch this. Watch this. There's concentric circles in your life, okay? So in your life, the inside circle is your family, okay? These are your friends. It's one concentric circle out. These are people you just met. So yesterday, I was at my daughter's volleyball game, and this guy comes up. He's one of the other parents, and he goes, hey, I want to introduce myself. My name is, I really wanted to remember his name. I said it like five times in my head after he said, Kirk, because my name association was Star Trek. But Kirk. So he came up to me and goes, hi, my name is Kirk. And boy, I was my best me. I really, you know, you're always your best me when you meet somebody. And so I shake his hand, look him in the eyes. Man, it is so good to meet you. Thank you for coming over here and introducing yourself. Best me. Outside concentric circle. Closer you get to the inside circle, things start changing. My friends, right? My friends. They get my best me when I'm in my best mood. Are you with me? If I'm in a good mood, they get me as a good mood. I'm in a bad mood. And why? I can be a little bit looser because they're my friends. Like, they're not going to disown me just because I'm in a bad mood, right? This guy, further circle out. This guy, no. Now we get into this circle right here. Now, this circle right here, they know you the best. If you're, I just heard someone over here go, careful. Because you're sitting next to family, okay? So it's about to get awkward. They know you the best. This is the inside circle. They know who you really are. If you're single in this room, and you just started dating somebody within the last year, you have not met them yet. You have met their representative. You have met this person. You got to stay with them enough to meet this person. And then you want to know who this person is before they put a ring on it. Are you with me? But what is, are you that person? What is it like to be around you? Does your anger spark so quickly that the enemy laughs? I want to come up and go, the enemy is near, the enemy is near. My wife, she's fun, she's wonderful. We've been married for 24 years. Awesome job, Allie. Awesome job. I remember we were doing something playful before the kids, you know, I can't remember, but it was, I think it was something like I took a Kleenex and before Presley was born, our oldest, and like I beamed it at her, right? And she's like, picks it up and throws it back and chases me around and tries to, but she's got this little move where she fakes here and goes there, right? And she's chasing me around. And then to draw a contrast, remember I said, you know, Brazilian, Italian, I'm just, I wake up hot, okay? And so if she took a Kleenex and rolled it up and hit me in the back of the head, I'm like, what the heck? And what are you doing? Like, what's up? It's the self-perception. What is it like to be around me? Ask yourself, what is it like to be around you? Are you easily provoked? Does the enemy get to come up and do anything? I wish somebody, when the Kleenex hit the back of my head, in that split second of how I turn around, it's a quick second. This is a nanosecond right here. That's quick. As I'm turning around in slow motion, I want someone to run up to me and say, hey, the enemy is right next to you. There has to be this nanosecond of, what is it like to be you? One of my favorite movies, I'm not recommending it, is Godfather. It was in the 70s. Obviously, I like 70s and 80s. But it's about the Corleone family. Let me show you the primary actors. So, raise your hand if you're a Godfather person. That means you're only half saved. All right. This is the Don. This is the leader of the family, Vito. Okay. This guy here, his name is Tom. He's like the adopted son, not the blood son of Vito. This right here, this guy, his name is Sonny. He's the oldest of Vito. This is Fredo. Second oldest of Vito, this is Michael, okay? So now what we have here is Tom, he's the attorney. He is calm, level-headed. You can't rattle the guy. Everything's analytical to him. He loves spreadsheets, okay? Now this guy, this is Sonny. He's the one that's supposed to, the family after he dies is supposed to go to him. Problem is he's a hothead. He's a hothead. He gets mad about everything. He reacts crazy. He does crazy things. And most of the time is so crazy he's messing something up. Very rarely will you be crazy and right at the same time. Tweet that. All right. This is Fredo. This guy needs prayer. Okay? This guy cries about everything. He's emotional. He's a mess. He's a complete mess. He's nuts, okay? Now, this guy, Michael Corleone. This guy, I'm about to ruin the movie, but if you haven't seen it, it's been out for 50 years. Okay? If you haven't seen it yet, you're not going to see it, okay? This guy gets killed pretty quickly. This guy gets killed, not going to tell you, okay, I think his brother killed him, but that's another story. This guy gets killed because he's an idiot. Now, this guy takes over the family. Now, here's, if you're a godfather person, what ends up happening is you start assigning people to people. Like, for example, in my family, okay, I'm like, okay, this brother, you are a Fredo. You're a stinking mess. You're Sonny. Okay, I always tell my dad he's Vito, even though... Okay? But everybody who likes The Godfather, deep down inside, you're Michael. All right? Deep down inside, even the ladies, they're like, I'm Michelle. Okay? Like deep down inside, right? But the self-awareness, I remember the day it happened, I was like, I am not Michael. I'm like Sonny and Fredo's son. That was weird, but... How am I going to get out of that? I'm just messed up. I'm crazy emotional. And then when you become that self-aware, then it's the decision of how are we going to live from here on out? And I'm going to tell you, it can't be a minor shift. It has to be aggressive. And I remember saying, when my kids are born, every time they walk through the room, it's going to be like they won a gold medal. Presley came into the office this morning when I was studying. She opens the door. I'm like, Presley! I saw Luke back there. I said, Luke! It's like we haven't seen each other in 50 years. Kate comes in. Kate! Allie comes in. And she's like, what did you do? No. Allie comes in. She says that to me. No. Allie comes. We kiss. I'm a hard kisser. She's like, stop. But you have to be extreme to muzzle out the other stuff. Last and final thought. We got desire. We got anger. But the devil is after you every single moment, every single day, all day, every day, all day, every day. And when you play it at the playground, kids, when they play at the playground, they play a game called tag. And now there's one person that has to run around and try to touch the other kids. Do you know what that person is called? It. It's a weird name, but it. And so it's like, you're it. And the other kids go running around. And so the one who is it has to go touch one of the kids that are not it. And if he touches them, they're it. Okay, are you ahead of me? The enemy is chasing you around. Now, what the kids do when they're running around, they're yelling, you can't catch me, you can't catch me, na na na, you can't catch me. I just want to say, when you have the desire, you need to go, ha ha ha, I know who you are. Can't catch me, no, 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 can't catch me, no, 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 no. When you get angry, that little spark, this is like, da 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 da, can't catch me, can't catch me. It's spiritual warfare. You got to know he's right next to you. And you got a split second, a nanosecond, I mean, a blink second. What are you going to do with the thought? What are you going to do with that burst of anger? What are you going to do? 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 And you got to go, yeah, can't catch me. Can't catch me. When the moron talks to you, you got to go, I know what you're doing. It's not the moron. It's not Fred. It's not going to catch me. Does this help anybody? Is this...